Well, build my gallows and build them high. Makes a long time climbing before I die. I want the chance that's built in his eye. Well, he gave me balls, but I can see between to a dusty yard and a long gone green. They call that freedom, if you know what I mean. And I drown my sorrows, but the whiskey's gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Long Bangers. Matty, this is episode 97. No John tonight. He's off fathering babies. So you've got two able replacements. We've got Jamie Montgomery. Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks yourself.
Aye, bro.
Thanks very much for having me on, by the way. Delighted to be here.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for standing in. We've also got Colin Wilkinson on as well. Colin, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I just said to Jamie, if you've been paying attention, I said...
No, I wasn't listening. No.
I didn't blame you. I do not blame you at all. Right, so tonight we've got a Scottish Cup semi-final to discuss. The good news tonight is that we're discussing a win and no another one of the Hibs semi-final defeats. So I suppose to kick things off, Colin, I'll start with you. What was your take on the game?
I thought we were good, but I didn't think we were brilliant. But who cares? It was all about getting a win, wasn't it? That's what they were saying before the game, when all I heard them say was how many semi-finals Hibs have lost. And I was like, fucking hell. So all we wanted was a win, and that's what we got. Played all right, a couple of really good goals. But, you know, it's not about the performance in a semi-final, is it? So.
Oh, it's a mental. You say that about the... all you heard was about the ones that we lost. I think every single interview I heard by a player that was from a broadcast media or a journalist was about you lost the last three, in fact, and they kept hammering it home as a pain in the arse, because even while the game was on, the commentators were still bringing it up.
Aye. I was mad. It was the amount of times. It was incredible how often they were saying it. But anyway, they even back onto the 114 years thing a couple of times as well. Like, come on, guys, we've got rid of that one.
Aye. We're past it. What about you, Jamie? What was your thoughts on the game?
I was really nervous for some reason, although quietly confident during the game, just before kickoff. But in the first 10-15 minutes, I'm no joking, I was on the edge of my seat. I thought they're going to score. There's a really good chance with Harkes. If he just takes that first time, it's a goal. It's going to be difficult for Mesa to stop, and it would have changed the complexion of the game. But after that, kind of, there was a couple of defensive thingy. Paul Hanlon's come running away out the line of defence for a nothing ball and gets caught out. And I thought, if this keeps up, we're not going to be able to kind of maintain any kind of level of pressure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what changed. They just looked a wee bit more solid. I thought guys like Jackson Irvine, I know, Colin, you were saying you're no bored if he remains at the club and what have you, but I thought that performance on Saturday just shows what he's got. And if he was to produce that on a more consistent basis, what a player he would be. But good performances from a few people. I actually thought Portis had a good game. Some of the runs forward, some of the tracking, and that was good. I'm delighted. I sat up, but I'd been drinking early. So by the time it got round to sports scene coming on Saturday night, I was basically upside down behind the piano trying to watch the highlights. I couldn't woke up in the morning, I had no clue what had went on. I was like, did I watch the highlights? I just wasn't very sure, but rewatched them the next thing in day. I'm delighted we're in the final. Honestly, absolutely over the moon. She makes a massive difference to the end of the season.
Aye, it's a big difference.
Sorry. I was going to say, yeah, well, you speak. You're in charge.
About Jackson Irvine. So, what did you think of his performance on Saturday?
Oh, it was good. I mean, the cracking boy played for the Nisbet goal as well. But I think my point about Irvine, I agree with what JBJ said, but my point about him a couple of weeks ago on Quick Bang was, when he's good, but he's not good often enough. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's the consistency. Like right. You say, if he does that every week, sign him. Yeah. If he's not going to do that every week, then I'm not that bothered. We'll get somebody else. But when he's good, he's good, and he was good on Saturday. And that's when we want him, I suppose, in the big games. But, he was good on Saturday, can't argue with it.
That turnaround for the game against St Johnstone when he played, I mean, he'd just come into the club, hadn't he played for 10 months? People forget that. They either gave us an absolute doing, but Chris Cadden was basically just coming into the side. So was Irvin. You know, it's a big change to make. Two key players who weren't really fit. I, to be honest with you, all this hype about St Johnstone and how good they are, it's good for Hibs because it basically puts your hackles up, lets the media get on with them, dreaming about the double for them and all that, and it just lets us quietly slip into the game. And we are favourites, but I mean, I didn't ever want to put pressure on myself. We've definitely got to win something because I've seen this show far too many times, but I am confident.
It's a funny thing you mentioned there about St Johnstone and the chat about the double. I don't know if any of you listening to Sports Sound on Sunday after their semi-final, and you'd think it was done and dusted and in the bag already. They're talking about little Callum Davidson being manager of the year. Ken, he's done amazing, two trophies, and you're going, oh, fucking, he's not won two trophies yet. He's won one, he's done well for that, but let's not get carried away. But the way that they were talking, my big hope is that breeds down to the St Johnstone players as well. And I think the way that they won the game on Sunday will feed into that as well. The fact they've got the goalie going up to score a goal or assist a goal at Ibrox, then winning on penalties, hanging on, getting through Hampden to the final, I definitely think that they're in their heads, they've got the double in the bag, which I think will help us because we've been that team before and it's hindered us.
I didn't hear the radio, but even watching it on the TV, the boy, was it Kane, I think, it got interviewed after the match. He was saying that, and we beat them the last three times. We beat them at Hampden. Kim, I mean, they're obviously building themselves up to... we'll beat them already. You know, look at it, though. Ken, we gifted you a goal last time.
Last two times.
Even the semi-final, it was like a couple of... Irvin hit the bar, didn't he? And Murphy missed a sitter. We scored the first goal, we'll win, I think. Like, yeah. I think that's the... I'm never confident coming from behind, like, in terms of the football, but the it was not something like once we've once a season.
Ross County, yeah. You're right. It's not a good start for us, but conversely, we're very good at hanging on to lead. So when we go in front, we very rarely lose the game. I suppose we saw that on Saturday. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the difference in the semi-finals, and whether or not we carried a wee bit of luck this time that we didn't carry the last two. So, Colin, you mentioned there about like hitting the bar and Murphy missing the sitter. Contrast that with Saturday there where we get a goal that's offside. How important are those wee things in a game, do you think?
Well, that's what turns... We've already won the lot, but I think that gave us the comfort the second, didn't it? Because even at 2-0, you're thinking, just get a third, just to make me feel real confident, because if they'd got one back. So I think it gives you that booster. I think it was offside, right? I'm not even going to try and argue it was onside. Lovely bit of football. But see, since VAR came in, down in England, they analysed these ones. That 2 years ago, that would have been that's a hard one for the linesman. The benefit of the doubt to the striker. He was offside. I'm not arguing it. I'm just saying, I think, now it's like, he's definitely offside. The linesman should be getting that right. You know what I mean? It's like the linesman seems to have lost that sort of goodwill, if you want, if that's the right word, on the kind of decision since VAR came in. Because they're now looking, is his pinky offside or is it his shoulder? Or, you know what I mean? All that level of detail. And wasn't that far offside.
It was quite far offside, like. But I suppose these are the breaks, because like, if you think we had one in the quarterfinal as well. Mm-hmm. Ken, if you mind that, Jamie, where Irvine's goal was offside, so...
I know, but see, just going back to the linesman thing, I've been moaning about this for ages now. See, when you're at the game and you're watching the linesman basically thingy, the linesman never, ever, ever raises his flag or makes a decision until the referee's done it in Scotland. I don't know why they do that, but I bet that's something to do with that. They're always looking at the ref to make the decision before they'll raise their flag or anything like that. And I think that stems from a game Dundee United were involved in, maybe Celtic against Celtic or Rangers. There was a massive furor in the linesman. I can't remember what the decision was. Sending somebody off and the linesman made the wrong call or something like that. And it's been changed since then. But on the actual day, I actually thought that Halberg had maybe been standing in front of him to basically, wasn't there a clear line of sight. But as it turns out, when I watched the highlights, he was nowhere near it. It was definitely offside, but you've got to take the breaks. How many times have we been shat on with loads of big games, bad decisions?
The linesman was probably mesmerised with the brilliant football building up to it. He's watching the wee back heel and that, and he's like, that's brilliant. That's what I was like. I didn't notice it. Probably
be ashamed to rule it out. That's
Kevin
probably what he's like,
loads of that.
too good a goal.
Too good a goal.
Kevin Nisbet's got that. See the touch he has? He's got a brilliant touch. That wee movie does. He does that quite a lot. He's got really good feet, Kevin Nisbet, for a big guy.
Aye. There was a bit of criticism. I don't know if criticism is the right word, but they were saying on, I think it was the radio, maybe after the game on Saturday, Nisbet maybe just lacks that wee bit of pace. It stops him being the top player. Fair criticism, fair comment, you think?
Make him better.
would he be at Hibs if he had all that? It's just part and parcel, but he's definitely... He didn't need a lot of pace. Look at guys like Craig Brewster and what have you, a lot of pace, but really knew where to stand, knew where to put the ball in, made a good career out of that. Pace is good if you've got it, but I don't think it's a be-all and end-all. He's got far more than that. His movement and his touch and everything, I would say, is better than that.
Pace covers up a lot of other deficiencies, and fast players get away with a lack of control or... Again, the touch that Nisbet's got, again, it's like, I don't think, I'm not saying that he is one or the other, but look at even like, look at Boyle or Sproul even. I mean, they're rapid. You kick them in front of them, they're brilliant. But Nisbet's a better football player than them. You know what I mean? I think pace just covers up a lot of deficiencies and definitely helps you, no doubt about it.
Aye. You look at the goal he scored, was different class, really. I mean, Jamie, you want to talk us through the goal?
That's just sublime, isn't it? It's just these... He's no panicked. He's picked his spot and just laid it in rather than trying to blast it and what have you. It was absolutely a perfect goal. Great touch. I actually thought that just before he scored the goal, had an excellent touch to move into a great position. I actually thought he'd scored as soon as he made the movement. It's just wide of the post. He's just got that calmness in the box that you need from a striker. And no had one like that for a long time. And the finish was just absolutely outstanding. Excellent finish.
Colin, you look at Dundee United, right? They started with their three up front, which was Clark, Shankland and McNulty. When they were talking about this before the game kicked off, certainly the media, they were talking about how those three would trouble Hibs. Do you think, or how much do you think they actually did trouble us in the end?
Well, the boy had two chances, didn't he? Who isn't one of them? But aye. Obviously, Shankland set him up. Shankland's... I haven't seen an awful lot of Shankland. Just heard about him in that, Ken, when he was in the Championship. I got the impression he was like a penalty box striker. And they've got him sort of playing like a 10 or something deeper. They've got McNulty away at wide. When we saw him, it was when he was through the middle, taking on the passes for Meonga and that. So I think they're maybe good players, but they're playing them in positions where they haven't got to benefit them. They're just fitting them in the team rather than picking the players, and then that's the determining the formation rather than saying this is who we want to play and this is what we're going to do. So I don't think they troubled us really at all.
Do you think Jamie, the defence coped quite well with them then?
I did, but I also think what Dundee United lack is width. So it's all very well having three strikers on the pitch. If you have not got the ball into the strikers in important areas, you're not going to score goals. The fact that McNulty's been pulled out to the right and the left and what have you, he was trying his heart out to basically make something work for himself, but it's a difficult one. The defences, I thought, were handled them really well. I can't actually remember either of the strikers either making a clear-cut chance. It was Harkes that was making the better chances for himself coming deep from midfield. But aside for that, I didn't think they ever troubled us. They talk about the offside goal, fair dues, raise your hands, but when Boyle gets brought down with that great run in the second half, Deutsch has already passed the goalie when the whistle's blown. Yeah. It's a clear tap-in. So nobody bothers to mention that, and they didn't really talk about it on Sports Scene either, which is a bit of a disappointment because Jack Ross mentioned it in his interview.
Aye. I mean, that could have been a really big decision. Oh, yeah. You obviously look at the one that definitely did happen, which is offside, and then you look at that one, which you're preventing something from happening. And obviously, if we hadn't got the second goal, maybe we didn't get that chance later on as well. But I mean, certainly there's an argument that they evened themselves out. Hallberg, we kind of mentioned him. He came in for Gogic. How did you think he did?
I thought Hallberg was excellent. To be honest with you, I've never seen Hallberg really play extremely bad. So he can't really come in for a lot of criticism. He's not really played much, but he certainly stood out like a sore thumb on Saturday. I thought he was absolutely excellent. And to be honest with you, if you take the emotion away from it in terms of how well Gogic has been playing and made that change if Gogic was available, I think it still would have been effective and we would have won the game. I just think we didn't need to sit and have a holding midfielder against teams like Dundee United, and you want to try and play in the front foot. And I thought he was excellent. He was all over the pitch. Unlucky with a couple of shots. It's difficult looking at how you can set up for a final or even for the Aberdeen game where you let him play and try and get the first goal at Pittodrie, get that kind of over the line and done. It's a difficult one because Gogic is back, but I thought Hallberg was absolutely... He's done himself all kinds of favours in trying to give him headaches to Jack Ross to try and get in that team.
What were you, Colin? What were your thoughts on him?
I thought he was good. He was good on Saturday. I'm not the biggest fan of Hallberg in the past. I've said to you before, Matthew, that I'm not really sure what he is. Like, is he a defensive midfielder, attacking midfielder? He doesn't really score goals, but you didn't see him putting the big crunching tackles in, but... You can't deny the last couple of times he's played, he's been good. Even when he came on against Motherwell in the quarters, he was good. So he's definitely in a shout. He's obviously fancying himself to get in the team, and he's pushing for it. You can't deny it. He's been really good.
I think what I noticed from his game on Saturday was he looked like a player who was trying to take the game by the scruff of the neck, and that's something that you could you sometimes criticise Newell and Irvine for, is that they're in the game, but they didn't really kind of go and impact it massively. I thought Hallberg had that look about him that he was like, fuck, I'm doing it today. Jury just kind of wanted to get on the ball. He was very positive when he got on the ball. Took us up the pitch quite a lot of times as well as kind of doing the defensive side of it. I thought he had a really good performance. Done enough to keep him for next season, do you think?
Is it your contract?
I'm not sure. There was talk about him being moved on, potentially.
The last thing they were trying to in one of the January windows, they were trying to get Alan Campbell in, and he was part of the make weight plus cash, and I think Stevie Mallon as well. It's certainly the rumours that I've been hearing, but obviously Alan Campbell's now out of contract, so if we are going to sign him, it's not going to be any make weights or cash. It will just be depending if he wants to sign or not. But I think he's going to leave, I'm sure.
Was that called?
Would just be a tribunal fee maybe for Campbell if he's came through the academy.
Ah, you'd be due something, I think, for the development fee, I think it goes to. The other talking point was Macy starting in goals rather than Rocky. So, right decision, wrong decision, where do you stand on that? Colin, I'll go to you first.
Clean sheet, so made a good save, didn't make any mistakes. The other boy doesn't want to be here, so aye, the right decision.
And what about you, Jamie?
I'm just one of these people. If he's going to be the goalkeeper, play him. Then he wait till cup games, just play the laddie. But you've got to play your best player. So whoever is the best player, play them. And that's what I get. I just didn't understand the chopping and changing, especially at a club like us for the size. He's done a good job. He's unbeaten in a Hibs jersey. I just play him the rest of the game. He's already signed the deal. So if he's got to be your number one. I mean, there can't be any room for sentiment now. You know, Rocky is an excellent goalkeeper. I would equally give him the jersey, but I wouldn't be chopping and changing. I wouldn't have Rocky in against Aberdeen and Celtic and then back to Macy for the final. It just doesn't make sense.
But I suppose if you're one of the superstitious types, you maybe say, right, keep him unbeaten. Don't take any chances against Aberdeen and Celtic and then just let him go one game to protect his record in the final. So who are you starting in the final then? You're going...
Macy will definitely start.
You think Macy? Colin?
I agree, yeah. The thing is, it's like, I think we overanalyse our goalies. Like, we had all the shit goalies for 10, 15 years, and we got a goalie in, and it's like, oh, he doesn't make enough saves, or he doesn't make enough spectacular saves, or he doesn't come off his line, and if he comes off his line too much, it's like, fuck's sake.
Or they're too spectacular.
The boys come in. It's like, the boys come in, we've won every game he's played, he's made saves in the games we've played. So, like, what's the problem? Like, I just Rocky's an international goalie, fair enough. but he's made mistakes as well in the past. I think we do have, I listen to the Terrace podcast sometimes and they talk about, they've done their top 12 goalies or whatever, and they had Marciano fairly high in the list this year, but they do think that Hibs fans overrate Marciano more than like your non-Hibs fan. And I agree with that. I think we do hold him in like high esteem because he made some brilliant saves against Dunfermline once. Yeah, like in the Championship, I mean, it was amazing that day. You know what I mean? But it's like they game stick in your head, and it's like he's not brilliant all the time.
No, he's not. Yeah,
and I'm not criticising the boy either. He's a good goalie. He is one of the best goalies we've had in the last period of time. But I think this boy looks that bad. I think he looks. I can't say he's better than him yet because he's not played enough games. But he certainly doesn't look like that much worse than him. So
I think Marciano was the first keeper we've had in ages that won us games or won us points. I think that's probably why he gets talked up, because he's definitely been the difference in more than one game. And you look at some of the keepers that we've had over the years that have gone another way.
I get scared of us. Like, you know, the Zibby one especially, but again, it scared us. And it's now like, you know, the boy behind me where I used to sit and move seats, but fuck. He's just shouting goalie every time the ball comes into like 30 yards of the goals. The boy's just like totally panicked because of the history of 2000 onwards, or whenever it was. But hey, I think the boy's fine. He looks good. He's made some good saves. He made a save at Queen of the South as well. It's not like it's all those crap teams we were playing. He's made saves every game we've played.
Yeah.
And folk almost picking mistakes. Like Rocky would have saved that one. How do we get that? Like, what is that based on? You know, but it's just guesswork. So I'd be comfortable with him in the final. And I'd also, I agree with Jamie there as well, that I suppose it depends on the team we're going to play in the next two games. But get him comfortable with the defenders. I guess we're not going to change it too much. We've not got that big a squad. So
yeah.
Get him used to playing with the boys. The more game time with them, the more confident he'll feel, the more they'll understand the communication and all that. You know what I mean? So. I would stick on that.
Good agility for a big guy. That save on Saturday kind of proved that. It was. I can't remember who had the chance, but he's got doing well low considering how tall he is. But good agility, and I love his gloves. By the way, what's his gloves all about? They're completely different to any I've ever seen.
Oh, I never noticed. What I did notice was that the Dundee United goalkeeper, I'm trying to make sure I'm on the right game, blue strip, picked blue boots to match it as well. So he's got the blue boots, blue socks. And I was wondering whether that was a conscious decision or whether it was like just a happy coincidence for him. But if it was a conscious decision, what makes you think I'm going to make it look like I'm going out to play in a onesie today? I've got to get the matching boots on. Fucking weirdo. Goalies are funny. I think Alan McGregor does that as well. I think he wears pink boots when he's got the pink strip on.
Mm-hmm.
Aye. But then he goes full pink again when he gets the rage in, and then I say it's great. Gets a skin tone to match.
Try to talk him into the Euro squad,
I know. So they were trying to talk Xander Clark in it as well, which I thought was shite. Like, Xander Clark is an all right keeper. He's capable of having a good game, but he's capable of being pash as well. And then because he did well in a cup game against Rangers, they're going, oh, fucking get him in. Like the boy Patterson, Rangers, the right back. He's had something like four starts, five starts, and they're going to get him in the Scotland team.
He was on the shortlist for Young Player of the Year. Hadn't even played 350 minutes or something. They said he had played. Is that all we've got? Like, we've got like three laddies and then one that's just started playing.
And
he's on the list.
He's decent, or he's looked decent in the few games that he's played, but I think Maesters could look decent in that Rangers team now, which is the other thing. But I thought it was better kind of going, Xander Clark could get him on in the Euro squad to go on. Fucking nut.
At the moment, no. But the third choice is the Rangers' second choice goalie, isn't it? So,
I suppose he's better than that then.
He's only going to go as third choice, isn't he? Or if McGregor goes, he's liable to go in his first choice because he is the best goalie that Scotland's got. As much of an arsehole he is in that, he is the best goalie.
He is a good goalie, I've got to take that. good comical moments.
He's just a brilliant goalie, but I think he's quite old though. But then goalies aren't really football players, they're just goalies. They kind of put football player on the passport.
They're not running about for the 90 minutes, are they? You mentioned Dundee United's lack of width, Jamie, right? Do you think that the lack of width comes from the setup that they've got, or the fact that with us having Doig on one side and Boyle on the other, it's very difficult to teams to attack us up in the sides?
I just think any games I've really seen them that they have a lack of width. I mean, I could be proved wrong, but every time I've seen them, it just doesn't look like any support. They signed a guy who is a winger. And in the first game that we played them this season, he was excellent. And I've never heard from him since. They had him on loan. And he was a winger and he looked very dangerous. But aside from that, so I came, what's happened to that laddie?
It was for an English team, eh? He was sitting there. He was like, I can't remember his name, but I remember him. But then they didn't want him because they played the strikers out wide and they're trying to fit him in the team.
But that's so it, because they're hoping that Hark's and everything will come in. But you've got to say, Doig, for all he's good going forward, I think he's actually a decent defender as well.
Yes.
And he's just cool, calm, and collected. So it is going to be difficult because he can get forward and catch you out quickly. So if the ball breaks, as you say, you've got Boyle on one side and then him on the other. It must be like, shit, man, it's like the fucking everything's coming at you at once, coming over with charging horses. But I didn't think they're a terrific side, especially they got found out on a big pitch, but I think we exposed the big pitch well as well. Boyle could have done better for larger spells of the game, but certainly the last 20, 25 minutes, he was brilliant.
It's like he'd been saving it up, eh? That's what he's like.
I was a bit surprised because he never went. He never seemed to go wide past the boy. I don't know if the boy's really quick and he knows it a little bit. That normally he's gone past boys and cutting, kind of like going round them and cutting in and that. But on Saturday it felt like he was quite deep and trying to cut in early. And then the crosses he was putting in were sort of shin height and that. I was a bit disappointed on him in the first half. Obviously had a couple of cracking runs later on that. But maybe when there's, I don't know if they changed formation or they got tired or whatever it was. But He wasn't going wide. Can we keep going on about the big pitch at Hampden and all that?
Yeah.
And that's ideal for Boyle, but I didn't feel like he was using it. I don't know if that was a deliberate.
Robson's quite quick as well. That lad is a good player.
So maybe he knows that. Left
back.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we would have taken advantage of Butcher getting booked early as well, because he's a dirty bastard. Like Josh, my son, he said he's a Butcher for a yellow card, probably the safest bet you've got in any game. Because he's like every time I've seen him play Hibs, he just kicks hook up and down. He got booked for it in the first 10 minutes, which I thought was quite a hard booking as well, by the way. I think he didn't really do very much wrong. I would have had Boyle on him, just run at him until he fouls you again and get him sent off. I was surprised we didn't kind of take advantage of that. But then you noticed Dundee United started getting the rotational fouling on us, on Boyle as well, started different, taking turns, kicking him.
Mm-hmm. I think it was good to have a game,
wasn't it? Was that?
Aye. It happens every game, Jamie was saying, and he's right, it does every week. It's a tactic, eh? It's you've got to stop Boyle. Because I think if you stop Boyle playing, you do make us struggle. Although Nisbet and that sort of do it on Saturday. But I think if Boyle's not on form,
why does everybody have to call him Martin Boyle? Martin Boyle this, Martin Boyle that.
Full name. Do you know who else gets that?
Weird.
Barisic at Rangers. You listen to a commentator, ever just call him Barisic? Always Borna Barisic. Fucking... I think how it is. There's definitely some players that they just go, it's always Martin Boyle.
Did I just call him Martin Boyle? Is that what you're like?
No,
I just call him Boyle. All right.
Aye. The commentators always do. You're spot on, Jamie. It's like always Martin Boyle. Borna Barisic is the other one that always gets his full name as well. Scott Brown. I didn't get it either. Why they have to. It's not like there's another Boyle there, is there? Like, confuse him with.
Even with Bartley, Ken, when he's doing the after the games, like interviews and what have you, he does it, and I'm like, you're his pal. Why are you calling him Martin Boyle?
What if he does it when he's chatting with him? Is he around Martin Boyle? speaking of the pundits and that, did you watch the St. Johnson game?
Aye.
Because they had, what's his face, plays for Dundee, that was it?
Charlie Adam.
They had him and Derek McInnes on. And whenever they did the
white shot...
I watched
the Premier Sports one.
Right. So whenever it was Derek McInnes that was speaking, Charlie Adam was stood like this.
Aye.
Looking at him like he was fucking terrified. I was like, what's he so scared about? And I didn't care if it was maybe McInnes kens some dirt on him and he's worried that he's just going to blurt out on national TV or...
I thought he was trying to remember the words he knows. You know what I mean? I was thinking... Try and get him in an order that makes sense. I think that was all.
I didn't rate Charlie Adam as a pundit. I thought McInnes was good, though.
He's in the rounds, eh? He must be skint or something. He's on everything.
Ah, that's it. Well, nobody pay off he got for Aberdeen, he'll not be skint unless unless you've got a lavish lifestyle. But it was, I can't remember if we talked about this on Quick Bank with Alan McCoist on the head of the Hibs game, and they'd interviewed Mickey Mellon just before the game kicked off, and the woman had said to him, like, what's the message to the players? And he says, oh, just tell them, stay in the moment, you know, like, remember where you are. And he must have said stay in the moment a few times. So when he goes back up to the presenter, they've got Strachan, McCoist and McInnes there. And she says to Strachan, what do you mean? Like, as a manager, then what does that mean, stay in the moment? And Strachan looks at McCoist and says, well, you can answer this one. McCoist says, stay in the moment. He said, I have said that, but I have to say, no offense to a player. I thought it was quite funny. Anyway, how did we go into that? Fuck knows, right? I'm fucking looking terrified.
See where that is, well, because I first put on to BBC yesterday, and it was like watching a Sunday league game. I didn't know what Premier Sports done, but it felt like there was a crowd at the game. I don't know what it is, if they're just basically amplifying the sound that they're playing there. Honestly, what a difference it made.
Which is mental, because even when St Johnstone and St Mirren do have a crowd in, you didn't hear them.
On the BBC, they definitely like hear how hard St Johnstone kicked the ball. Like, that was what I noticed, the noise. It was just like they were whack, kicking it as hard as they could. And that's what we've got to look forward to.
I had Sean Rooney any time, and I thought he scored that header, but it was a good save.
He had a couple of chances.
A couple of good saves.
He's a worry, by the way. He's a good player. He's just a big bully, but he seems to get in really good positions for a right back.
I can't, it's not a really politically correct thing to say or tasteful or whatever, but he was definitely one of the ones you could have done with catching the COVID. Eh? You know, when you saw folk were out, oh, you're like, oh, that there's a few of them that would have been good to have been missing.
Did we ever hear who it was that missed it?
Because
it was
speculating. We wish him well, but I don't want anybody to be sick. I just want to kind of make that clear. I'm only kind of joking, but you wouldn't want anybody to be seriously. Oh, I say anybody. Right, so look ahead to the final then. Are you bringing Gogic back in?
See, just before we go into the final, I wanted to say, I know how good Jamie Murphy was when he come on.
Aye.
I just thought he was excellent, just glides past players and unlucky not to score. And again, that pass Jackson Oven makes through to him was sublime. He was just really unlucky not to score.
And McGregor was quality when he came on and all, by the way.
McGregor was outstanding.
Looking like a film star every time he plays. Eh? I think that's what he's been doing. Just moisturising him. So the wife, the wife is like that. She's watching Vikings now on Prime, and she's like that. Oh, he's like the boy. And I'm like, right, calm down.
Ragnar.
I was just saying that.
Jane said that to me when he was coming on. I was like, oh, fuck, look at McGregor. She's like, oh, why don't you marry him?
Well, see, Darren used to come up and play fives where I played, and I didn't ken him. It was before he was at Count, or was he just got to join Count of Beef? And I played against him, and I actually went in for a tackle, and I'm not a small guy, I just bounced off him, like literally just, I was like, I'm going to be trying that again, solid.
He was exceptional.
Nice guy, I know, great guy.
He cleared everything. Do you know, anything that was in his vicinity, he was taken care of. And it must be good if you're another defender looking at it, you know, you can look to your side and say, oh, fucking, we're all right. Doesn't matter what they're throwing at us, we're coping with.
But Ken, see what one of the biggest fears I've got with that defence is, they let the ball bounce. Darren McGregor, boom, away. Nate bouncing. And it makes massive difference.
Kenny's old and he's hardly played, and Hanlon and Porteous have had a good record this season, I guess. But I just feel more comfortable when he's in the team. Like defensively, you know, like if we go up leading in that cup final at half time, I'd be tempted just to chuck him on, just empty boys, just go and clear the ball, just empty everything that comes near you, because he's just there's nobody better than him at it.
I agree, definitely.
Is Murphy giving Jack Ross a headache then? Because you look, we've got a pretty settled team now. Like I would argue that the team more or less picks itself, but that's happened with Murphy and obviously Cadden. Both being injured, Cadden's not going to be fit for the end of the season, but Murphy is. Whose place is in jeopardy if Murphy comes back?
I don't think anybody's place is in jeopardy. He's a good impact player and somebody that can come on and change up the game, and if you need to play on the front foot, I wouldn't start him. Especially, you didn't want him getting injured again either, so didn't he start him, just play him as an impact player?
You agree with that, Colin?
I do. Can he play centrally? Like, we've only ever seen him out wide, because the only one I would consider, like, controversially would be maybe Joe Newell. Because if Murphy, then I don't know if you're losing much defensively, and Neil's maybe injured anyway, because he did take a bit of, looked like a bit of a sore one as well. I wonder if he could play there, or if he would lose too much in the middle, because he's a quality football player. And I think Neil's all right. He's good when he's good again, just like what we're saying about Irvin. You know, he's a bit inconsistent for me. I don't know if Murphy could play in there.
It's a good problem to have. I was looking at it when he came on, because who did he come on for? Was it Newell? Was that when Newell got injured? Or was it McGuinness came on for Newell? I think McGuinness
came on first. Can't remember who came on for. They come on for.
Yes.
Remember
aye.
That one?
Aye, I think you're right. So, yeah, you may be looking at changing the shape again, so you get a bit of a width, but you sacrifice Deutsch. I thought Deutsch was excellent, like the front three.
Yeah.
Superb. We're lucky that they've kind of hit form at the right time of the season.
Yeah.
Tons of goals.
I've always been a detractor for Deutsch, but by the way, he's proved me wrong in the last, four, five, six games. He's been really good. And that's what
it's mad how streaky he is, though, Like, and that's like two or three times he's now been at Hibs already, but I'd already read before he came to Hibs, he had said it in an interview that he goes through these spells, and you're like, how does that happen? How does it continually happen? Like, you go, because was it 12, 15 games or something he went with no goals? And we were saying on Quickbang, he does too much for the team to drop him, and then the week after, we're all like, just get him, fuck. And then he scored, and he's not stopped scoring since.
And it wasn't a typical finish for him either on Saturday, because I thought to myself, where did that come from?
By the way, his
great finish.
That finish, and then the one against the Queen of the South as well. Was it Queen of the South or Sonar? Queen of the South, where he was one-on-one with the keeper, and he just gave him the eyes, and those were the ones that he was missing. Do you know, when he's no in a streak, he misses those. They were talking about him on Sports Sound, and I think it was Derek Ferguson, I think, was saying, Doidge had said something like, I'd had a run of bad luck, but they're going in for me now. And he was saying, Kenny's maybe been a bit lucky with the goals, but if he's saying it's bad luck, is it bad luck or is it bad finishing? And go, well, hold on a wee second. You can't say he's lucky when he's scoring, but it's just bad finishing when he's no scoring. Surely it's like good finishing. He's like totally contradicted his argument, but then I suppose it's Derek Ferguson. And,
aye,
he probably got confused to try to remember what day it was.
Right. So I remember the words as well, just like I've got enough words to use.
the final then, what's happening in the final? What's your prediction, Jamie?
I'm the one for going all out. Oh, we're going to hammer them, but we are due them one. A couple of performances that people are basically jumping on the bandwagon and saying they're a much better team and they've beat us the last three games and this, that and the other. What about the, you know, was we beat them 3-0 up there? Didn't we, nearer the beginning? Was that last season? This season I'm getting confused.
It was 1-0 this season. That was last season. Because it was 1-0 this year. Malin got a penalty late on.
That's right. That's what it was. Aye. But I mean, they're not, they're nowhere near as unbeatable as it proves. Just that you can score goals against them. So, we just need to see if we start the way we started in the other semi-final and get that early goal. I think we'll have enough in the locker to take care of it. And just, I meant to mention this, I didn't care if this is still a true stat, but I remember one of the commentators saying that the teams who generally score first in Scottish Cup finals go on to win the game.
Aye. I think that's, it's been since, I can't remember the stat, but you're right, because when we scored first in 2016, that was the first thing that came to mind. It was like, good history on our side here. What were you called? How have you seen the final going?
Well, early goal. One, or just the first goal. You know what I mean? I think we'll be all right. But it's one of them. It's they're a team that they've not got to come and try and... They've got to stop us playing. So we need to think, do we just go and match that up? Or do we go and try and do something? Because if we try and do something, that's when they then pick us off with, I don't know, a free kick across or one of the type of goals that they got in the last semi final. But I fancy us, like we're due them one. You know, I've said that before, but I think like they've been on a good run. I think their form, something I read somewhere about their form since maybe December, they would maybe even be second or third in the league, definitely third, based on how they've played since then. So we can't discount them, but they're not a football team. You know what I mean? They're stupid. They're stuffy. They're effective. They're efficient. But I mean, even St. Mirren yesterday had 2-3 good chances. They missed a couple of chances. They got a header. Like, so this defence that can't be broken at St. Johnston, just across into the box, and they're marking the boy. They're no, you know what I mean? They're no the team that we're building up in our own minds, I think, because they beat us a couple of times.
The big fairy, Quinard, whatever he is, Pish, he had a good couple of chances yesterday to break the deadlock.
Aye.
And Lee Irwin, what have you, so there was loads of chances for St. Mirren. They could have been 2 or 3-0 up before they actually scored.
Yeah.
I think the benefit of it being St. Johnstone, I don't think any of the Hibs players will be taking it lightly. I know that I think they would have taken it lightly with St. Mirren, but I think it's a different psychology going into that game if it had been St. Mirren. Yes. You're looking at, we've taken points, full points off them this season, so 9 out of 9. And I think you go in that thinking, right, as long as we play all right, we'll get a win here. Whereas now I think the players will be going, we need to be good. So not enough to play all right or just to have a good game. You need to be really at the top of our game for it.
And they might be thinking what you're saying about we would have been.
Yeah, exactly. Because they definitely think that they've got our number. And I don't think they have got our number, which is the other thing. Like the last game, Porteous doesn't make that mistake. There's fuck all in the game. Like Marciano's not had another safety make in that game. Their keeper has had a goal chopped off for offside, which was offside. And even the 1-0 that they won at McDermott Park was none, and it was like a pure clearance, it felt, to Liam Craig, and he rattled it in from outside the box. So it's not even like they had a clear-cut chance. Like, that's a good finish for like outside the box, but you're normally quite happy if somebody's shooting for there, because like, it's going to be good to go in. So I think
he's another one, loves a goal against us, is Liam Craig. He couldn't kick his own ass when he was at us.
A kid. Right, so we'll leave the cup for a wee minute. Oh, just before we do, fans at the cup, what are you thinking? There's a bit of talk about Aberdeen offering Pittodrie for use for the cup final, but also UEFA have said that it's up to the SFA. So do you see any movement on that? Do you think we'll have fans at the game, Colin?
No, I don't. No, I think we're running out of time. I think they've been trying to blame UEFA for that long because they didn't want to do it for whatever reason. They were saying UEFA were, I don't know, putting billboards up or something in the ground. That was why we couldn't get it. And it's only 500 you can get unless you write a business case and all that. So now we're less than 2 weeks away. We've got to run out of time. They'll say, oh, really sorry. I mean, I was saying that the Tom English has been at Broadfoot on BBC Radio for the last few weeks on a Monday night, saying what he's doing about it, why any fans getting in. He's been totally stonewalling at St. McCanny's UEFA Stadium, and it all comes out the night that it seems like UEFA have just been, nah, talk shite, mate. Get on with it. But it's too late, I think. You know, and even, I would argue, 500 folk, I wouldn't bother for 500, like. But if you could get Murrayfield for, I don't know, 11,000 to us, and how many season ticket holders they've got, I know, but I can't see why Scottish football didn't like giving money to rugby. That's why we wouldn't use Murrayfield. Eh? It's simple as that, because it looks like Murrayfield's empty that weekend. I was looking at the fixtures they've got in this cup they're playing, and that's like a week off in between. It must be an interval week or something. So Murrayfield should be available. But we're not asking them. I don't know about Pittodrie and that. It's funny. I was talking to my brother-in-law earlier, and he says, I wouldn't want to be at Pittodrie, a record at Pittodrie's shite. I said, it's a record that happened in shite. Can't even think of Newcastle either.
Ibrox, Parkhead, anymore.
And Easter Road? Nah.
You could put it East End Park. That's kind of halfway between.
Tynecastle?
Hart said that, didn't they?
Apparently.
Did they?
Imagine how spewing they'd be for winning the cup at fucking Tiny. I'd love to see fans there. Like, I agree with you, Hank, Colin, that 500 is probably it's probably too big a faff for no enough people to do it, and it probably would leave more people disappointed than it would please. But I would do the business case and say, well, if you've got a 50,000 seater stadium like Hampden, put 10,000 in it even, and you could do that, keep it under half capacity. Do you know, like, you can 10, 15, 20,000, you could still get with folks spaced out.
how many are they getting in for the Euros? And that's, what, 4 weeks away or something? It's something like, is it 12 and a half? Or
is it 12 and a half? I don't know. So go with that.
Sure. So then you're getting to the stage. This is the other thing you would go. Yeah, so 11,000 season ticket holders, they'll have their, I don't know, three. I don't know how many they've got. I don't know if I'm being harsh here or not. So, but then.
Three thousand.
But that's 14,000 if you could get that. And but then, guaranteed, they would start mumping and moaning, saying, "No, no, they can't have 11 if you're having three," because the self interest thing comes back in. So they wouldn't
be taking any more than that if they were allowed in anyway. I mean, how many fans have they taken in past games? I mean, I didn't get any many they took. Well,
when they won it in 2014. Nah, I don't know. I don't know who would do that. They would have to do the, for me, you've got to do the business case and get the numbers up. 500, I wouldn't bother my arse. I think it's a waste of time. And I think by doing a business case, getting it signed, going through all the sign off and that will mean they have to go through up to Leach and Sturgeon and that. It'll be like 2 days before the final, we'll be going, oh, we've got to do a ballot. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to be enough time.
It's a shame, eh?
Unfortunately. They should have been doing it weeks ago. Like what they were saying on the radio.
You think how nervous we were watching the semi-final on the TV? What's it going to be like at the fucking final?
Yeah.
50p, 5p, central.
Yeah.
When they were talking about the an alternative venue, when they said that you couldn't have fans in at Hampden for the game, Celtic and Rangers were both still in it. And then, of course, they're out, and then it's it takes away for the players, Ken, taking it away for Hampden. Like,
I think it's a bit strange, though. Jamie, the way that it's been done, because I listened to the Radio Scotland a lot for the football, and I think it was before Christmas, you had the boy for Alloa, is it? Mike Mulroney, I think his name is, in Doncaster, and they came out and they were hammering the government, saying it's a political decision, we're not getting fans in, and we're doing the trial events at Ross County and that, and we need to do mayor, we need to get mayor in, and then it's like somebody says, you, clamp it, shut it, and they've said nothing since. And we're getting nothing now. We're not even when the journalists are now saying, who were criticising them for saying that at the time, are now saying, why is he saying nothing about this cup final? They're going, no bothered. And I'm going, are they quite happy to not have any fans in the game? Like, are they making their money out of it? Is it less hassle? Or what's the actual story?
It's mad, because you could even be looking at having fans in, even for the league games. Do you know, like, if you look at how things are opening up, and there must be an argument to say you could have had some fans in Easter Road for the last game of the season, or because I think they're talking about doing it for the lower league playoffs to get some fans in. So if you're doing it for that, surely you can accommodate it in bigger, better stadiums like in Easter Road or.
Yeah,
but it goes back to the adage, you know, the League Cup final in England. How many did they have there? Was it 15,000 or something like that? So now I know that's a massive stadium, but equally, the fans were pretty much bunched together and able to drink it. Well, we're miles behind England. You know, anything that's kind of a wee bit risky, if you want to put it that way, it's never allowed up here. We're like a wee strange cousin, Ken, that looked upon football's kind of looked upon quite badly, I would say, for a lot of the, certainly government. It's not the pro sport to go to. Football's kind of just like a working man's pest kind of deal, and we're left to get on with it. There's not enough people arguing the points for us. I think having 500 people when they've had 15,000 people in a stadium in England is a slap in the face.
They had 1,000 at the snooker last week indoors.
They had a rave in Manchester. A rave.
It's okay. That is a sort of test event, though. They were doing proper.
I understand it's a test event, but they were really in close proximity. I understand all that, and they're doing the test event, but surely you'd be able to have a test event for a cup final, and whereas you're no eed up and jumping about with folk and cuddling them all night.
Speak for yourself. did you see the test event? I think it was Liverpool that did it, the 3,000 at the disco, and they did a news report the next morning. And this woman standing, I think if you saw this, it was kind of a wee viral clip. And there's a laddie coming, you're pissing, you're trying to hold on to something. And he's kind of, he's going past, he grabs this like fence and he kind of rolls around in it, gains his balance again, takes a second, sorts himself out, starts walking, and he just starts dancing away. Just walking away.
But,
something you might have said. I wonder if you don't know how much an impact, but you wonder if the Polish that would be looking at it and going, I can not all those boys run on the pitch 2016, no getting and just being vindictive pricks.
But you could agree. It could be that. It could be the cost. I don't know. It could be the government saying no. But then, and then even when he got to the semi-finals a few weeks ago, nobody's wanting to tempt fate and say there should be fans in for the final. Hibs, St Johnston and St Mirren and that. But they could have all clubbed together and says, listen, whoever it is in the final, there should be fans in. But it was maybe they wanted to come out. They should, how hard is it to just pick up the phone and say, listen, we think there should be fans in the final. I'm not saying they're going to be in the final.
Aye.
But one of us is. So let's sort it out. And we just sat on our hands and done nothing. And we've got to run out of time. We've just got to run out of time. Simple as that.
It's a shame. Right, next topic, Josh Doig, Young Player of the Year. What's your thoughts on that? Deserved? Not deserved? Jamie?
Absolutely deserved. 100% deserved. I kind of think a better youth player in any team that has done as well as him. And it makes it even better that Hearts must be booking that they let him go. And I'm delighted for him. I'm not sure he'll be here in the summer right enough, so enjoy him while you can, because what a talent that lad is. Absolutely outstanding and well done, Josh Doig. Absolutely brilliant. Or should I call him Doogie Tripod on here?
Doogie Tripod, aye, that's it. Give his proper name. Colin, what are your thoughts on Doogie Tripod?
Well, he's been excellent, hasn't he? He's been, as we said before, Jack Rush has done brilliant. I'm taking him out of the team and bringing him back and all that. So I've had it before, even with Witherspoon, when he came in the team, and he was just in the team and he was in, and then he started getting criticised and his confidence got affected and that. Whereas Ross got him out of the team at the right time. I kind of mind the competition fully, because obviously we said Patterson, he shouldn't have even been on the list. Turnbull was in there though, so he beat Turnbull.
Aye, Ferguson at Aberdeen as well.
Ferguson, aye, so it was.
He's a cracking player as well.
I suppose that doesn't count them as young anymore. I know they are, but there's an age limit. But almost, you think the young player of the year should be almost like most promising or biggest impact or best newcomer or something.
Breakthrough season, aye.
Breakthrough season, aye. But so he definitely is. The funny thing about the Hearts, I heard Levine talking about it, saying, I really had Aaron Hickey and that ahead of him, so I had a decision to make. And I thought, you're talking shite, because he was a centre-half at the Hearts and you just didn't see it. That's what happened. Like, you're trying to cover your own arse there because he was...
He was
a centre half, so you never released him because Hickey was ahead.
Imagine if Levine said, I had Christoph Berra in front of him though. All right, Craig. I thought it was brilliant. I think he's a real talent. It's a funny thing. We were talking about it on the podcast, but there's a very real chance that we'll have players potentially winning a cup as finishing third, potentially. Aye. One of the things that Young Player of the Year, and we never get to see them in the flesh. Josh Doig, if he moves on in the summer, will have had that great season, earned Hibs a fair bit of money, and not one of us will have been there to watch him do it. It's mad, eh?
It is mental, but I think it would be a bit mad if he was to leave that quickly as well, to be quite honest, because he's still only 18. He's only played 30 games.
Yeah.
He's going there, he's got to get lost in some under 23 league that nobody gives a fuck about. You know what I mean? And then we'll be raking about him for him in 3 or 4 years' time when he's 25 years old, or, you know, and he's been on loan to Yeovil or somebody. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of... That's if he goes too early. Because the amount of boys that are going down to England too early, and they just get... Because we think he's a big, strong, powerful laddie. He goes down there, he's just a laddie. He'll just get pushed out. Unless we could get something to deal.
I thought Aaron Hickey done the right thing with his deal. Before he moved, he was saying that he wants to play in an X amount of number of games. So that was contractual that he had to play in them, so that he didn't get swallowed up over in Italy. And I think he's actually played the majority of games for them there. But you're right, it is a much more physical league than up here down south. And they're born athletes. And I think he would struggle with the physicality of it. Not the pace of the game, I don't think, but definitely the physicality.
One of the things that gives me a wee bit of confidence that he might stay is there was an interview with him and he was talking about how he views Kieran Tierney as a bit of a role model. And one of the things he referenced was Tierney's timing of his move to Arsenal. So you think how long Tierney stayed at Celtic, because there was pressure on him to move a couple of times before he eventually went. So you maybe see the same with Josh Doig. He'll be looking at it and going, maybe this isn't the right time for me to go. Anyway, I hope he's still there for next season.
I'm not confident in the way Ron was talking about that at the AGM about selling players. He had mentioned them a couple of times. And that's what just makes me think there's something afoot. But as I say, it is the most Hibs thing, getting that laddie like that. I've never seen him. It would also be a bigger Hibs thing to win that thing and nobody be there.
Aye, take it away.
I think the if he's talking about selling too, though, I could see Boyle, Martin Boyle, being one of the two that that get sold, because we've got him in a longer contract now, putting him on, and Nisbet will probably go purely because he's, well, I can't remember how old he is. He lost a few years of his career early on.
He's 24.
He wasn't fit in that. So he'll see the pound signs and think, I've only got 10 years left max. Can I better go and cash in? Whereas Doig's 18. He's got a couple of years of development in him, unless he could get a deal and come back on loan. Now, like, go sign as a Leicester that were linked. Go to Leicester, come back, play for a season on loan, or maybe two seasons. Kind of, they do that doing England there. Man City, they send somebody to the Scottish League and then they'll come back in the second season, they'll send them to the English Championship to get kicked up and doing, and then see if they're ready for the Premier. But yeah, that's only, if that's the...
Well, if you look at the guys that I was watching a bit of the Derby game on Saturday, and they were close to getting relegated, and Patrick Roberts was playing for them. Again, how they might have fallen.
I forgot. You know, I was watching that. My boss is a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so I stuck it on to just take my mind off the semi, and I was watching it, and I was like, that's something that was at Celtic. Totally forgot about them. But there was a load of ex-Scottish players that played in Scotland on that game. Waghorn and the Windass and all that, I know they're all just away doing in obscurity, doing in the bottom end of the Championship. But I suppose they're playing at least. But
I know, but it just shows you that how they were expecting him to go. The way they were talking when he was on loan at Celtic, he was like, got to Barcelona or Real Madrid or something, and there you go, almost getting relegated with Derby.
Aye. Crazy. I told about Ron Gordon, so he, I think you're right, Colin. Like, Martin Boyle was kind of like a prime candidate because we signed, what's the boy's name, Daniel Mackay?
Mm-hmm.
That his name, the for Inverness, who plays wide.
He's left sided, though, no?
I think he's right footed, but plays on the left.
Right.
From what I gather. But I'm taking somebody at their word for that, Jamie, so I could be talking shite, to be fair, which wouldn't be unusual for this podcast. Potentially, we've got a big windfall coming from either finishing high up in the league and or winning the cup. It depends how we do in Europe. Because what's getting missed as well, but it's kind of putting all the weight on winning the cup. But there is a chance that we go in and win a couple of playoff games. Do you know, like, if we go and turn up, like we did it under Lennon, we nearly got to the group stages. So the cup's not the be all and end all for getting a European run. It just makes it more fucking difficult. But you're potentially looking at Hibs, who are already spending money on players. We did it with Nisbet, we did it with McGuinness, we did it with Mackay now. If we're going to bring in millions and millions for Nisbet, Poitras, Doig, Boyle, potentially, you'd expect to see quite a bit of that getting spent going back into the team. We could turn, you know, use that to our advantage and turn into a really, really good team. Not that I think we're a good team now. Right, just before we look at Aberdeen, just before we came on, I watched a wee thing on Twitter with Martin Martindale. That's his name,
David Martindale.
That's a better name for him. I'm just going to call him that from now on. I'm
sure. Get mixed up with Martin Boyle.
Aye, Martin Boyle. David Martindale. He said somebody sent him out on LinkedIn. Livingston had got £28,000 per point, pretty much is what it cost them. So look, he said, we've got the lowest budget in the league and we've got this many points. So if you take that many points divided by your budget, it works out at something like £28,000 a point. So Martindale was up for Manager of the Year. He was quoted for it. The next best team in terms of lowest pounds per point, who do you think it was?
St Johnstone, no? You guys say Hibs?
It's Hibs. According to Martindale. Now, I'm assuming given he's passed, he can do maths.
I bet he's good at counting money.
Right? So, I've taken him at his word. I was quite surprised at that because I thought that, like you, probably St Johnstone would be in the running for it. Do you think the job that Jack Ross has done at Hibs has been overlooked?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know about Jamie, but we've both been managers in our career, if you want to call it a career, right? And you set goals at the start of the year for somebody. If you were sitting down with Jack Ross at the start of the season, you would have been saying fourth, and a cup semi-final would have been achieving your goals. And third place in a cup final would be sort of exceeding your goals, and winning the cup in third place would be smashing it out of the park, biggest bonus you can get. But the situation we found ourselves in, the teams we got beat off in the semi-final previously, and the Old Firm being out and all that, and obviously one of them being Hearts, is probably what's tarring that sort of record. But in terms of sitting doing somebody's annual review, you couldn't argue with it. You can't argue with it.
I was thinking that everybody was, particularly when they're having the conversation on Sports Sunday about Davidson, and you're saying, well, Jack Ross is now, like, so if Davidson wins a double, it's a fucking amazing achievement. Like, it's monumental, because there's nobody done that outside the Rangers and Celtic for, well, not in my lifetime that I can remember. I think even the good Aberdeen teams did it, did they?
We threw it away twice, 2007 and 2016.
But it shows you how hard it is to do it. So Hibs came close, 2016. And again, that's a season where Stubbs was labelled a failure if we hadn't won the Scottish Cup. So it shows you how hard to do it. So Jack Ross has been within a game of getting to the League Cup final. He's in the Scottish Cup final, and it looks like we're going to get third. That's a fucking brilliant season. He wasn't quoted at all for the manager of the year. I couldn't quite get my head around that.
This comes down to a section of the support being unhappy with him during games, because I pull my hair out with Hibs fans a lot of the time, because have aspirations, want to be the best you can. Absolutely, everybody should have that kind of goals and achievements. But fuck's sake, you are going to lose games of football. You can't even win every game on a budget of our size. It's just impossible. And they give people such a hard time. Even now, if we had got beat at the weekend, the Knives would have been out. It's no good enough, bottled it, blah, blah, blah. But I can't get my head around it. And you say, well, okay, right. I'm not saying give me a direct replacement in terms of who you would get if Jack Ross was to go. However, how many times are you going to keep changing managers when the same pattern has happened for quite a few managers, and Jack Ross has been the most consistent? So what more do you want as a support? What more can they possibly provide? I didn't get it. I didn't understand it.
I'm the same. I just think he's got us within touching distance of the best season we've ever had. And it would be, like, if we finish third and win the Scottish Cup, that is, by any measure you want to take, the best season we have ever had. And, well, say ever. In our lifetime. If you're when did we win the league in the 50s? So
way before
that time. Yeah. Fucking hell. Right, so, and folk are talking about if he doesn't win the final, punt him. Like, fuck's sake.
Nice man.
Aye. Right, Aberdeen on Wednesday night. How do you see that going, Jamie?
I think Hibs will either go out and basically blow the roof off it and blast them away, or it's just going to be a stuffy 0-0 draw. It's just, I can't decide what Hibs team are going to come out and play. Do we attack and just go for the win? Seen Paul McGinn getting interviewed on the news tonight, and he was basically saying that they wouldn't go and sit in and try and play for the draw, even though that's enough. So they're going to try and win the game in hopes to cement that, and then that's it done. So if you're going all guns blazing, I just didn't be able to cope. They're no the Aberdeen they once were, and basically stifle teams. I think Stephen Glass has got them playing in a different formation, which basically you can get at them. And if you can get an early goal, and they have to come out and play, because they need to beat us.
Aye, they have to
give themselves any chance. They have to beat us. So they have to come out and play, and I think we've got a lot going forward to get goals. It's just try to keep it done at the back.
What were you calling?
That might play into our hands if they're coming out to play, because we're good away from home. Depends who we play. I want to finish that. Kind of look focus in. Doesn't matter fuck now because the cup's where it's at. But we didn't finish that ever. So let's finish that. It's in our hands here.
Aye.
I would be tempted. I think Nisbet was looking like he might have got injured. He went off injured on Saturday, didn't he? Was there too many balls?
He went off anyway, aye.
And obviously Newell and that. So I'd be tempted to not play Boyle because he gets kicked up and down the park every week, and we need him in the final. But I still want to get at least the draw them on. But if they're going to come out and play, then I think that plays right into that's what you want, Boyle, because he's going to go in behind.
Aye.
So I don't think we'll get beat. And I think although it's no mathematical if we didn't get beat, And they're not going to beat Rangers 5-0 and they're not going to lose 5-0.
No, it is mathematical. If they draw, that's it done. If we get a draw, that's it done.
3 points behind the one game to play, but it's goal difference that would come down.
Yeah.
And but the goal difference is unlikely. So it's no mathematical, technically, because we
could get a draw. It's
unlikely, very unlikely. So a draw should do it. I'd be happy with a draw, but as long as we don't get any injuries and get a draw, that would be the ideal. Because we've not got a big squad. That's what I was going to say, that when we're talking about Europe next season, again, like, we need to set the expectations early because we've not got a big squad. If you're playing Thursday, Sunday, we've got to start dropping points in the league and fuck away what Jack Ross sacked again.
Good show.
So it's like, we need to, I know we go for quantity over quality and all that, and that's absolutely the right way, but we need a bit of both next year because we've got to have suspensions and injuries and tiredness all over the shop if we're in Europe till Christmas. It's usually bad enough when we're only into August or September, and you get that slow start. So if we're in there in December, we've got to need a much bigger squad than we've got this year to back it up.
Aye.
If Nisbet doesn't play, I think Murphy will start.
Maybe a good opportunity to get some minutes in his legs. Well, no, does us. If we keep a clean sheet, I think that's a secure third day. I think that's the way that we can look at it. Definitely, we're better on the counter-attack, so if Aberdeen have got to chuck everything at us, then you'd maybe see chances like we were seeing at the end of the game on Saturday there.
Yeah. But there's a lot of folk writing them off, though, Matthew, that Aberdeen are shite, but and they have been. We should have wrapped this up ages ago, but they've got 7 points for the last nine, and they should have beat Celtic, and the other one that they dropped, the draw was. So, you know, we're in danger of throwing it away if we kind of get a draw up here on the morning. When's it? Tomorrow or Wednesday?
Obviously, nobody wants to get to that, but if we did get beat on Wednesday night and Rangers beat them, same outcome.
Aye. That's true, aye.
It'll be like that game, eh? I think the one when the Rangers went 1-0 up, we were just like, everybody's just kicking the ball. When they won the league that day,
it used to be. Did Aberdeen have to beat Hearts up at Pittodrie?
They beat them
enough. Aye, but not by enough. Aye. Oh, well, great. So, score prediction? Colin?
1-1 or 2-1, Hibs. I'm not sure yet. Depends on the team, but I don't think we'll get beat, but we'll let it go on.
Jamie, what about you? Score prediction?
I'm going to go 2-0. I think we'll score early. I think, as I say, they'll have to come out and throw everything at us to give themselves a chance, so they'll not be feeling their way into the game, I don't think.
Good stuff, right. I'll go for a 0-0. Gordon, that's how it'll go. Aberdeen will miss a load of chances. We'll miss a fucking sitter right at the end.
We've not had many 0-0s this season,
We've not at all.
Have you won
there? Aye, we probably are. Right, that's us done for the night. We'll be back with Quick Bang. He's going to join us on Quick Bang after the game on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Aye, good stuff, right. If anybody else fancies coming on, drop us a wee DM on Twitter. And then we'll have short bangers on Thursday and then back in with Quick Bang on Saturday. Busy wee schedule. And then we'll be in the run up to the cup final. So thanks for listening, Jamie. Colin, thanks for stepping in tonight. It's been great having you on. And we'll catch you next time. They trailed me down when I broke free. I drank all the whiskey in Tennessee. I don't drink water, no, you know.